Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me. My name is Kathy Santos, and we're going to be talking women veterans issues today. Today is our first Women Veterans Speak program, November the 8th, our noonday show in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So our show topic for today will be on issues concerning women veterans in Philadelphia and across the country. We will be talking about some upcoming events that are scheduled here in Philadelphia, particularly the Philadelphia Women Veterans Roundtable that is scheduled for Friday, November the 12th. We will be talking about some of the topics that are going to be discussed there and some of the attendees, some of the presenters that are expected to participate. I am delighted to have with me today someone I believe has shared an interest as a community activist and supporter to the women veterans community, and I believe that they will be able to add some interesting comments on their observance and certainly having been involved in some of the activities as of late. We would like to share with you later in the program some of those various events, comments, and I would also like to announce that this show is affiliated with the National Alliance of Women Veterans, which started in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania some years ago in an effort to address women veterans issues. And the founder, myself, Kathy Santos, I'm an advocate. I have been advocated on various issues for the past 20 years in Washington and locally on the issues of women veterans and health care as it related to women veterans. Some of these platforms have extended into the male population. However, I tried to stay specific to our women veterans concerns. I believe that has been a very hidden and quieted platform until as of recent. We have President Obama, who has certainly appointed General Eric Shinseki, the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, who has announced and made it very clear that he has a concern for some of our issues, particularly homelessness, and has declared that there will be an end to homelessness in our population over the next 5 years. So we are just proud to have the support that we have at that level of government, and certainly with the president having such an overwhelming concern for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Of course, that was his platform. We believe that he has certainly paid a great deal of attention to some of the issues that are associated with the veterans who come home, some of the conditions that they return to their homelands, to their home communities in, the health care, certainly their ability to be restored to some quality of life after having served in the military. So we are grateful for all of those different legislations that have supported that agenda. We would also like to talk about some of the local activities, I believe, in Philadelphia as of late that have been modified, if you will, over the past couple of years with a past history of not being as pleasant. But certainly we have been encountering a more inviting and a more welcoming partnership and relationship with the staff and the professionals at the Philadelphia VA Hospital. I believe that is largely due in part to some replacement staff. I had encouraged and urged that some of the staff be women veterans or those of the veterans of military population, and I think that there was some serious considerations to that effect, and they are not implementing much of some of those different jobs with military people. And I would personally, myself, I haven't met Generation Seki a couple of times. I would actually like to just thank him for the purpose of documenting this particular dialogue, for his strong support and his adamant efforts. He's been very adamant and aggressive in asserting his philosophies. He was a general, of course, in the, I believe, I'm sure, the Vietnam War and injured. And I'm just grateful to have his sincerity and certainly a compassion for women and veterans' issues. We should talk a little bit about also the recent documentary or showing on Oprah Winfrey Show, which I believe was a depiction of, at some level, of homelessness and some of the issues that women veterans face. But I believe that the story and that it, in its presentation, in its full effect, will be realized over time. I also believe that 60 Minutes, I haven't documented, I think that following Sunday, which has been just a two weeks ago from today, a very interesting depiction of the stand downs and their purposes and some of the outcomes of what their intent is to be when addressing homelessness at the local levels. Stand down is a government supported event held throughout the country in various states where veterans have the opportunity to come in a military type atmosphere where they have tents and they have various services provided, various representatives that come offering their different services, whether it's issues addressing homelessness, employment, housing issues. The many platforms that I know and stand down are local to the needs in that city or state or surrounding states. This year's Philadelphia stand down was in Bucks County, and I understand that there were some interesting changes made. However, they were very attractive to the ones that would attend. And I think that we are encompassing activities that are brought together in some commonality that we will find that if we reach to reach our objectives, we need to have all of these various components working simultaneously and that there are no disconnects. And that is one of my concerns, which is outreach and networking, and that the various groups that tend to seek to provide a service or to seek funding for their various efforts are disconnected for various reasons. And I would like to offer my position here and belief that veterans organizations need to be more supportive of one another. I believe there's a certain competitive atmosphere, and now the various organizations who are doing extremely good work, but with the confusion comes with there being so many different overlapping and certainly the competitiveness that causes dissension and certain other differences, if you will, when not coming together and addressing the causes. There are several, maybe 1,200 more at the last count, service organizations in the city of Philadelphia. And we need to make sure that they are distinct in their services that they're providing, and certainly we need to make sure that each veteran that needs a service knows about what organization is offering the service that they need. I think there's such an overlapping that when people are focusing on the one that gets the most attention, that particular organization gets overwhelmed when you may have one who's less visible, who may be seeking veterans that they have funds and resources to provide services for. So we want to make sure at some point that our dialogue leads to considerations in our discussions on how we can best network the veterans to the services that are being offered, because I believe they do exist at this time. So at first, I would like to talk a little bit about the November 12th roundtable discussion that's being held in Philadelphia. We have an opportunity to meet, I think this is the first time that I'm hearing, where a grassroots organization is spearheading this type of an undertaking. But as a National Alliance of Women Veterans and Advocacy that we've done for the last 2 years, it is mandated, I would believe, at this time, just by need it is needed so in the community that we need to get to the table all of the concerns so that we can begin to document and become and make public the issues that we face, what services are available, and how we can best connect the services to the veterans. It is my opinion and my belief, the veterans who I encounter, the issues are still too overwhelming for the services that are existing in our city. We have too many veterans who are experiencing homelessness, and I've encountering direct returning veterans who do not know of the resources. And I believe that CAP, Transitioning Assistance Program, has in place all the dynamics for fulfilling that role and informing that veteran what's needed for them to be connected to the resources. And I'm not sure what that disconnect is. We want to at least keep that issue on the table so that we will make sure that we emphasize that moving forward on what are some of the concerns of the veterans that are returning from Iraq. Also, I'd like to talk about some of the healthcare concerns in that although the Iraq and Afghanistan returning soldiers have a precedent with the OEM and OIF platforms, I believe that we need to make sure that there isn't now a focus that absorbs so much of the resources for OEM, OIF, which is, let me explain a little bit about that acronym. It's the Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom. And we need to make sure that those soldiers from those two theaters are not absorbing so much of the resources that we actually minimize or decrease needed health care and needed resources for the other war soldiers, which is probably 14 or more previous wars that exist, living soldiers from World War II, Korea, and I don't know if there's any World War I soldiers alive, but in case there are, we want to keep them in our dialogue as well. But certainly we know that there are World War II soldiers that are amongst us still, and Korean War soldiers, and we have soldiers that actually exist that have fought in Korea, Vietnam, and I do, at least one person who was in Korea, World War II, and Vietnam. So we are dealing with a vast array of soldiers' needs because each one of these wars, as we know, have brought different ramifications and specific needs, and certainly the funding for those various arenas have been specific to those needs, and now we need to figure out how can we address where we are today, how can we evenly distribute those resources so that everybody, because once a veteran is declared a veteran, I believe that status remains. And that definition of veteran somehow has been a little clouded, and in my opinion, needs to be clearly defined. Certainly, we know that the reservists and many of the active duty, they have various dichotomies that differ and some that overlap, but we need to be distinct and acknowledging what it is that we're doing here because there's quite a bit of confusion. But with regard to the OIF and OEF theater, I was able to speak to General Shinseki during a visit here in Philadelphia last year, and I was able to ask him in a public forum why OIF and OEF veterans were gaining such momentum and acquiring the preference at the level and the momentum that they had then. And what he said to me was because it was easy to measure. The veterans that were from 2001 post-911 marked a certain area in our military that they were actually able to measure those going in, and anything that was occurring in that military population, they were now monitoring it, gaining statistical data that would be valuable and necessary for moving forward, because they knew that this particular military arena and the whole war situation was bringing about some unusual, I believe, situations that kind of coincided with the history and how things have been done in the past. I would also like to note at this time my website, where a lot of the information for what I talk about is going to be found at www.nawvphilly.webs.com. That's nawvphilly.webs.com. And I would urge you to add your information. There's a form on there for sharing your information. There's a blog where you can actually put events up there. I would welcome that, but I would moderate with the discretion to remove if they're appropriate. However, I believe that would be a wonderful opportunity for us to begin to network, because I'm not sure if that exists. And if there's any websites out there that needs to be connected, the goal is to at some time have the women veterans connected across the country through what is the National Alliance of Women Veterans, whether it's Pat's Parachute over in Washington, whatever the organization is. They're doing great work in Washington. The American Women Veterans over in New York, they're doing wonderful work over there. They're having their parade, I believe it's on Veterans Day, and I wish them all the best. They've done great work, just recently haven't started, but they've been very aggressive on raising funds, advocating, and just being such a strong voice, and I'm just so proud of the women over there who have connected with us, and we've been exchanging on Facebook, and I'm just so proud that we're able to do this, because I'm getting a little old right now to continue on, and that now that they have taken it upon themselves to just reach for the mantle, it wasn't necessarily passed, because there was such a disconnect in the total women veterans population that we were having a lot of problems communicating with each other and our medical professionals and the various things that we needed to become whole after having transitioned from the military. So we're going to just talk a little bit about that, those activities coming up, to include the one in New York, over in Washington, D.C., Susan Avila Smith. They had their parade of celebrating the survival of military women of sexual assault, sexual trauma, and we're just so proud to have them. I think the Vietnam Veterans of America was one of the supporting organizations, and we're just so proud to have these organizations connecting throughout the country. We do know that there are many other organizations throughout our country that are doing things, and we're going to just continue to push for those platforms to open up so that hopefully we can have a, throughout our year, organizations who have events where we can't make it in California, certainly with Ann Rita over there in Sacramento. She's listening. I hope that one day we can get her in on some of these calls. And I wish her all the best over there. And to Lynette over in Seattle, I'm hoping that you'll get a time in at some point in the future as well. But being that this is our first show, I'd like to lay the foundation for what it is that we propose to do here. And I'm just really just so delighted that Internet Blog Radio has given us this platform so we can share much-needed resources and connect with one another all over the world and make things easier for that which many years ago was very, very difficult for the Internet and some of the smartphones, Facebook and some of our social networks didn't exist, certainly when I came from the military back in 1992, transitioning back to Philadelphia. Some of the situations I believe that I encountered are now are non-existent, but certainly those that do exist, we want to minimize them with the intent to eradicate them altogether. So I'm just so grateful to have this platform. On Thursday, November 11th, we do have a local organization who is sponsoring a Women Veterans Rally to Washington, D.C., Women Veterans Rock. And the Healthy Caregiver Foundation out of King of Prussia is going to support some of our work. And I believe that they provide a very valuable resource in that they are sponsoring this great trip to Washington, D.C. on Veterans Day. And we have a busload of women who are going to Washington, D.C., and we're just going to have a fun day. The women veterans who I was able to invite and confirm that they're going to be traveling with us, they were so excited. And I said, you know what, we're not going to talk about the VA. We're going to try to talk about our issues, but if you need a shoulder, we're all there for you. But the thing is, this took a load off already. I mean, some of these women that I encountered, had most recently had gone to the VA. I met some of them there, and they had in the recent years not gone to the VA for many, many reasons, but most are unpleasant. But they were there, and they were glad that these platforms are being extended to them. And certainly we need to thank Gwendolyn Phillips, who is the Women Veterans Coordinator at the VA Hospital in Rhonda Dennis. She is a behavioral specialist over there under the new Veterans Empowerment Center. And they have created such a warm and women veteran-friendly atmosphere that we have women now that are coming over there addressing various needs and platforms. I will tell you, getting back to my subject in a minute, but I want to tell you about the platform. They had the breast cancer screening last month, and previous to that, the credit counseling screening. And on November 18th, the platform will be MST, and I'm sure it's going to be, I hope it's a packed house, because every woman I've spoken to has had some concern about an experience of unwelcome sexual events in the military. And certainly, I believe that we need to have a more friendlier atmosphere for inviting these women in, and sometimes it takes a trusting relationship with those professionals in order to break through some of those layers, to break down some of those barriers that have kept that woman withdrawn and silenced for so many years. So on November 18th in Philadelphia, we will be talking to those women. I thought that would be there to observe, to bring back to you on the show following that, some of the occurrences and what some of the expectations will be. And I'm just happy to say that MST, of course, we know is military sexual trauma, one out of three women, which when I last did my testimony some years ago, it was one out of six women. So we know there's an increase, which is a little bit disheartening with all of the advocacy and the attention they've brought to the issue. And, of course, now there are men, males, who are complaining about their complaints or filing charges or whatever their various response have been. I've been hearing that they vary for being assaulted in the military. But we want to keep our focus on the women right now, because this platform for them has been a very hard struggle. When I testified before Congress in 1993 on women's veterans health care, there were women there from World War II. So there was a certain span that had transcended, but there was certainly a gap in the work that had been done in that area. So we want to continue to focus on the women veterans in that they need to continue to seek some resolutions to their problems and certainly get the attention that they need on the related issues, being what is eligibility for any PTSD that's associated with their traumatic experience, or whether it is just having a platform to share with other women. Peer-to-peer counseling, peer-to-peer networking is a valuable resource. And that we learned that during the 2006 Women Veterans Tribute, we do know that in 2006, when I was asked by a local newspaper here to provide a platform for women veterans, I found as many women veterans that would come to this event, and there was not a dry eye in the house. The women veterans, they cried, we laughed. I mean, it was just so full of emotion, just having the opportunity and talking to some of the women who had never, ever talked to another woman veteran since she had left the military. How amazing was that? So here we are 5 years later on that particular platform, and we're still doing our events with the November 12th roundtable, which will be followed by our Sunday's women's special celebration and tribute at Mount Everett Church of God in Christ, and we will talk a little bit about that. But for the November 12th Women Veterans Roundtable, I would like to just share a little bit about what I believe to be some of our important issues. I spoke to the Philadelphia Veterans Advisory Commission on last week in Philadelphia, and it was a little bit amazing to me. I'm not going to say insensitivity, because I don't think that was it. I think what happened with my initial statement was an unexpected summary presented to them about something that they were unfamiliar. And what was surprising to me was that 2010, we've only had about, I don't know how many major news stories on CNN. I don't know how many mediums have covered this. Certainly, I was on the radio for the past 4 years in Philadelphia. Talking about women veterans issue, but certainly it was just a little surprising to me that there was not a vast knowledge in this forum on this issue, and I'm not sure if that was what we should expect. With the much talk that's going on in the television programs about women veterans issue, are we really not paying attention to your sisters and your mothers and your other female relatives, family, and friends who have gone off to the military? Are we really not paying attention to what could be the cause for their disconnect, for their alienation, for their withdrawing? For some of the reasons, the root causes to their homelessness, to their drinking, drugging, incarceration. I mean, these are secondary effects, but I believe when you know some of the potential and secondary effects of a woman who has served in the military, you can assume that something has occurred that caused that person to kind of fall off, if you will, fall off from the fall off from where there has been a consistent life. I believe that the military provides a platform for a person to meet every challenge, that exists. I mean, we are challenged intellectually, physically, mentally, spiritually, in the conditions that we are faced in a peacetime. And I would like to, talk a little bit about how we can best stay connected, the phone number, and the web address and the email, so that we can be connected, because we have actually run out of time. And I can't believe that I've actually talked about so many things, but let's keep in mind, if you have a pencil handy, or if you don't have a pencil handy, go to our website at www.nawdphilly.webs.com, or you may call me, Kathy Santos, founder and executive director of the National Alliance of Women Veterans, at 215-834-4228, and my email address, of course, it's nawb2006@hotmail.com. And again, please feel free to contact me with any information, questions. If I comment, if I don't know the answer, we have Susan in Washington. We have New Mexico. We have women all over the country, Sacramento, New York, Florida, St. Louis. I'm sorry for the disconnect there, the interruption. But I would like to conclude the show with, again, the information to contact us. We at Philly Vet on Facebook. Our website is www.nawvphilly.webs.com, and our phone number is 215-834-4228. Thank you for joining us. Please join us next week at 12 o'clock, same time, and I will announce on Facebook if I have extended the opportunity to call in. Thank you so much. Please have a great week. Bye-bye.